Good morning. Jesus does this over and over and over and over again throughout the scriptures, over and over again. And what he does and says over and over again, I would suggest we don't always fully hear. And one of the things he says is, it's a phrase that I discovered in my kind of preparing for today, is this. And it's a phrase that I think captures what Jesus does over and over again. It's a phrase I'd like to engage with this morning, and a phrase I invite you to engage with as you depart today. And it's this. We come to God by doing it wrong. We come to God by doing it wrong. And you first may say, wait a minute, isn't it the other way around? We come to God by doing the right things. Sure. But this phrase, to me, captures something that I'd like us to talk about and think about. We come to God by doing it wrong. And I think this gospel, this parable that Luke presents to us, Luke presents this parable in the words of Jesus, and I think it captures this a bit. I want to look at that. But before I do, I did come across a quote that I'd like to share with you. It's from someone I haven't shared recently about, and that's Richard Rohr. Some of you know Richard Rohr. Some of you get his daily meditations, I know, and you hear me talk about him. But he has a quote I'd like to share with you. It's a little long, but I'll take my time sharing it with you. But it's this. Jesus' story of the prodigal son is a wonderful illustration of how Jesus turns a spirituality of climbing, achieving, and perfection upside down. The one who has done it wrong and is humble about it, the younger son in this parable we just read, is the one who is forgiven, transformed, and rewarded. The one who is proud of how he has done everything right and feels superior to others, or feel he is entitled, are not open to God's blessing. This is Jesus' great reversal theme. He turns religion on its head. We thought we came to God by doing it right. And lo and behold, surprises of surprises, we come to God by doing it wrong and growing because of it. The only things strong enough to break open our hearts are things like pain, mistakes, unjust suffering, tragedy, failure, and sometimes the general absurdity of life. We must be led to an experience or situation that we cannot fix, we cannot control, we cannot understand. That's where faith begins. Up to that moment, it has just been religion. Only on the other side do you know that everything has been preparation. Think about that. Engage with that a bit. We come to God by doing it wrong. It's part of what this gospel is, this parable that we hear. And let me put this parable in context for us. The first sentence, we sometimes jump right into the parable that we forget the first sentence. It says, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. All the tax collectors and sinners, all the ones who were doing it wrong, come to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling. The scribes and the Pharisees, the ones who do it right, were grumbling about this. That's the situation for this parable that Jesus shares. He's got folks coming to him who perhaps in their lives have done some things wrong. Doesn't get into any definition of what that means in this reading. And there's those, the scribes and the Pharisees, who've been doing it all right. And he tells this story of two sons, the younger son, the older son. The younger son comes to Jesus, comes to his father, and says, I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait till later. I want it now. And the father grants that request, right or wrong. We may have different thoughts about that, but he gives the son his inheritance. And the story is told that off he goes with this gift, with this abundant gift, and he loses it. He his life is falling apart. He's lost everything. And this great description of his life has gotten to such a level that he looks in the pig pen and looks at what the pigs are eating and longs to eat what the pigs are eating. I mean, what a description. And he realizes his life is in a bad place, and I need to do something. And he returns to his father, and you know, it doesn't say this, but there must be something in him that sensed his father still cared for him. The father loved him deeply. And so the son rehearses this little speech he's going to give when he returns to his father. And as he comes back to his father, it's one of my favorite scenes in Scripture. If you could do paintings of this or even a movie of it. It says, the son is coming down the roadway back home. The father sees him. And it says, the father runs out to greet him and embraces him. This son who has done everything wrong, the father embraces him before the son can even give his prepared speech. And he says, I've come home. He's sorry. I'll serve your household as one of your servants. And the father says, rejoices that the son has come home. This great joy. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a celebration. The older son, as it says, the son who's out in the field doing all the right things, he comes and sees this, and he grumbles about it. This son who has gone, I've done everything right, and this son who's done everything wrong, you welcome back. He has a tough time accepting that. You see, the father loves both sons equally. He loves them. It's the two brothers who had a tough time understanding that kind of love. Because the one who's doing everything right can't understand how doing it wrong merits anything. The younger son, the tax collectors and sinners. The older son, the scribes and the Pharisees. In many ways, at least for me, I'm both those brothers. I don't know about you, but I weave back and forth. You know, you strive to do everything right, and yet there's things we do wrong, and you go back and forth. And I think this kind of suggestion of looking at when we do things wrong is one thing to think about during this season of Lent. Lent is a season to look at the ways that we do things wrong. And what are those things in our lives, either our personal lives or focus on sin is not just personal. We can see sin in our country, in our communities, in our world, and it breaks us down. It breaks us open, and we seek to be healed. It's not just about doing it all right and being led to an arrogance about that. It doesn't always lead there, but it can lead there. But it's realizing that we are sinful, and we need healing, and it's okay to admit that. And realize that we've done things wrong. And it may bring us to God in an even deeper way, in a new way, in a way that leads us to even a deeper understanding of God's love. God loves us all, equally, all of us. The older son, the younger son, the scribes and the Pharisees, the sinners and tax collectors. That love is there. I suggest this season of Lent could be an opportunity for us to become ever more deeply aware of that love, the love God has for each of us individually, the communities that we are part of, the great love for this world. May we learn to know that during this season as we reflect on our sinfulness. That's what Lent offers us, to reflect on that, to enter into that, and let it open us by looking at the things we do wrong. May it lead us to an even deeper love, a deeper understanding of God's love for us.